Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Well, we got the NFL trade deadline today, about away and done with. Bid six trades today. According to Adam Schefter, that is the third most on any trade deadline in the NFL going back to 1990. There were 10 trades in 2022 and 8 on 2024. So it's becoming a little bit more popular to make midseason acquisitions and or dumpings, as we see a fire sale, if you will. As you saw with the New York Jets. Colin Russo, no Mike Rizzo today. We still got Damian Prez behind the glass. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Wanting your radio dial in ESPN 106.3, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X at ESPN West Palm. I've been getting grilled all day. Before we get into the trade deadline stuff, Damian, tell me if I'm an idiot here. I've been getting grilled all day. Somehow or other, the discussion around baked beans came up, right? Baked beans, you know, you had a barbecue, baked beans, fine. All right, having a good time, fine. Right, it's a completely adequate, forgettable side dish. Eventually, they're talking, somebody mentioned Bush's baked beans, right? So I go, what's Bush's? What's Bush's baked beans? And when I tell you, six or seven people immediately turned like they just saw an alien. What? You don't know Bush's? You don't know Bush's baked beans? I got grilled for 30 minutes about that. Damian, it was even to the point where a teammate of ours, John O'Terry, went over to the Publix across the street and bought me a little case of Bush's baked beans. Have you heard of Bush's baked beans?
See, I'll be honest. I've heard of baked beans, but if you just mentioned Bush's baked beans, I probably wouldn't be able to picture
Thank
it.
Thank you. You're the first person I've seen today that has never heard of this
But now that
brand.
I'm looking at the can, it's like, oh, that's what you're talking about kind of thing.
Okay, fine. When's the last time you looked at baked beans in a bowl at a barbecue and go, boy, what brand is that? Nobody says that.
That's a good point.
Nobody says that. And I got grilled for it. You've never heard of Bush's? Where have you been, idiot? Stupid. I'm like, am I getting bullied? What is this? What do you mean, Bush's? Never heard of it. Ask me about the baked beans. I don't know. I can't get grilled for this. This is ridiculous. To the point where two teammates bought me, if you're watching on the stream, country-style baked beans by Bush's. Never heard of it. Never once. It was even brought to the point. One of our teammates said, Bush's is so synonymous with the baked beans, like wow. It's that big of a brand, that it's almost like Band-Aid being Band-Aid.
So it's
right?
The standard.
So Band-Aid is a brand.
Right.
It's not, it's like a medical tape, but it's the brand. But everybody looks at a Band-Aid and says Band-Aid. It's that, like, I don't know, powerful. They tried to make the connection that this is the same thing. That Bush's baked beans are synonymous with Bush's. Nonsense. Nonsense. Never heard of it. And I love baked beans. You can't find a better baked bean guy three times a year like everybody else in the country who has baked beans. It's great. Can't sit here and tell me that Bush's baked beans is the biggest brand since Walmart. Can't listen to that. All right? That's number one. Thankfully, we have Damian Prez here, who is the only other person I've seen today who's never heard of this stupid brand. Damian, I was wrongfully, what's the word, berated today in the office about this. You never heard of this, right?
Judged, almost
judged. You never heard of this?
No.
Never heard of it. Finally. I don't know.
Glad I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm sitting here. It's a can. I mean, they're like, oh, you never have the Bush's baked beans? No, because I don't have baked beans as a regular part of my diet unless it's Thanksgiving or July 4th. Baked beans. No. I'm 23 years old. When am I ever going to have Bush's baked beans on my regular Saturday afternoon? And if I do have baked beans, I sure am not going to make a mental recollection of the brand. I guess it's like they got a monopoly of the baked beans. Bush's. Come on. Guys. I don't need to hear about Bush's baked beans and how I'm an idiot for never hearing about it. 888-760-3776. Am I an idiot for never hearing of Bush's best baked beans? Never heard of the brand. I know baked beans. Not that stupid. But Bush's. Never heard of it. Never once. 888-760-3776. Everybody who I work with today basically called me an idiot for never hearing about it. That's number one.
Can you name a second brand?
No, I can't name one brand. There's probably brands for certain foods that you just think the food. You don't think the brand. You don't need brands for bananas. You don't need brands for apples. Tortilla brands? No. Never heard of it. I can't tell you one. A bagel brand? I can name a couple bagel brands. All right, that's fair. I can name a couple bagel brands. No problem. It's like a bread brand. There's a couple recognizable. All right, I'm giving two bad examples. But there are examples out there where the brand should not be that well-known. Nonsense. 888-760-3776. I'm a little pissed off about this because I'm getting ripped apart for never hearing about this brand. Never once. Bush's Best baked beans. I know baked beans. Fine with baked beans. I've never in my life looked at a bowl of baked beans and said, boy, oh boy, what brand is that? Let me write it down in my notes. That's allegedly everybody else in the office. Kevin in Palm City joins Russo and Rizzo. Kevin, hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Kevin, have you heard of Bush's Best baked beans? Is that a namesake in your common lingo every single day?
Yes, sir. Well, every single day. I mean, it's every single cookout. Yes, sir.
Well, so am I an idiot for never hearing about this brand, Bush's Best?
I wouldn't say that, but I mean, you don't remember the Golden Retriever in the Super Bowl commercials with the old man?
Now, Kevin, this is the second time. This is the second time we've brought up the Golden Retriever. I've never once.
All right, my bad.
No, it's fine. No, that's a good thing. Yeah. People in the office have told me about the Golden Retriever. I've never seen this Golden Retriever. I have no idea what Golden Retriever we're talking about.
I mean, he's hard to find. He might be dead by now. He might be dead. They live short lives.
Well, Kevin, I haven't met the real Golden Retriever. I'm talking about the commercial with the Golden Retriever. I have not seen it.
It's around.
So that's how you know it. Super Bowls. So that's how you know it from the Super Bowl commercial.
No, we cook with it all the time. You throw in a little bacon, you throw in a little jalapenos, some onions, simmer it down for a while. That's a staple for any cookout, for any rib cookout. My bad. I got my kid in the car.
It's fine.
I'm sorry, sir. But, yeah, I hope y'all have a great day. I do love Bush's. Bush's is where we go. It's our staple for any time we go. I mean, I'm not going to cook down some beans. I'm going to go to Bush's baked beans and use those.
Good stuff,
have
Kevin.
Have a great day, sir.
Appreciate the call. I mean, Kevin, big fan of Bush's. Big fan is an understatement. Wow. Cooks it all the time with the cookout. Fine. He loves Bush's. Fine. All right.
Staple in Kevin's house.
Staple. Does he work for Bush's? I mean, loved it. Good call, though, Kev. Appreciate it. 888-760-3776. Colin Russo, Damian Perez. All right, I'm done with this. We're done.
You got that out the way?
We're done. I had to get that out of the way. Nonetheless, a couple blockbusters in the interim. A couple blockbusters on the NFL trade deadline. Last about hour here. The big one was the Jets shipping out Sauce Gardner, basically out of nowhere. Sauce Gardner has now been shipped off to the Indianapolis Colts, who are 7-2. How about that? The Jets, who are the worst team in the NFL, probably, if not one of the worst, ships away their star corner, who they signed to an extension this offseason, traded them for two first-round picks. Two first-round picks was the bulk of the deal in response, or I guess that the Colts gave up for Sauce Gardner. I honestly think good for both sides. This is a good trade. If there is, sometimes the one side or the other, gets fleeced, as they say. I thought the Cowboys, when they traded away Micah Parsons, I didn't think they got enough back. I actually think this is a good asking price for Sauce Gardner. It's the type of trade that when New York receives that offer, you can't say no. You cannot say no. If you're the Jets and you've won one game and you're going nowhere fast and your whole thing is, all right, well, we need a massive overhaul offer. That was the reports out of this. We need an overall offer to trade guys like Quinnen Williams, who did get traded to the Cowboys, and Sauce Gardner. The idea that we are waiting for this monumental, somebody gives you something, you got to accept it. Somebody gives you a good trade offer, you got to accept it. They gave them, the Jets received 2026, 2027 first-round picks, and Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver, who has had a tumultuous young player, an up-and-down career to this point. All right, Colts receive Sauce Gardner. He immediately becomes one of their more formidable defensive players. And now the Colts are clearly buying into what they have right now. Two first-round picks. That's a pretty heavy asking price. I actually think this is worth it. Damien, your thoughts?
They're all in. I think the Colts are all in, and that's what they're showing with this trade. Like you said, two first-round picks, that's a hefty price to pay. But if you're the Colts, when would you go for it if it's not now?
Right. 7-2. You got to capitalize on a trade deadline. Your team is good. You know your team is good, but it's not as great as it can be. You got to be a buyer. So I actually 100%
agree. And you're coming off a bad loss, too.
Coming off a bad loss. This injects a little life into the team. I actually didn't think that loss against Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh, they were due for one. That team's not going to go undefeated. We know that. So I actually thought this kind of flips the script a little bit because now everybody's excited to see Sauce Gardner the next time he plays for the Colts. As for the Jets, if you're a Jet fan and you're sick and tired of the rebuilding and basically rebuilding nonstop since 1969 when Joe Namath won a title, outside of that, if you want to complain about the laughing stock that is the Jets as a whole, this was the right move. You signed Sauce Gardner. He was going to hang around. A lot of people think he's overrated. He had that great rookie season, the great second season, and he's been not up and down, but, you know, not as great as he could have been. He was a first-team All-Pro, I believe, as a rookie. And there are some people out there who think he's a little overrated. I think a change of scenery is exactly what he needed, and I think it was the right move for the Jets. And getting two first-round picks out of that, so that means not only that, you're going to have your two first-round picks, you're going to have the Colts' two first-round picks, which are probably not going to be great picks. Let's get that out of the way. That's probably going to be 24 on. Easy. That's probably a playoff team we're talking about.
It's still ammo you can use to, you know, trade or get some other pieces as well.
But, like, a first-round pick is a first-round pick. If you know how to draft right, you could get an impactful player immediately. So that's number one. Number two, Quinnen Williams. Defensive tackle for the New York Jets, who has been kind of the namesake of that defense, especially interior, one of the best pass rushers, you know, interior defensive linemen that they have, shipped off to who? Dallas. This is the one I have a major problem with. Because if you're the Dallas Cowboys, coming off a terrible loss yesterday, a loss where you're kind of, let's be honest with ourselves, not really in the game for the entirety of it against the Cardinals, who are on a five-game losing streak, 27-17 final. Jacoby Brissett, their backup quarterback, takes down the Dallas Cowboys. Now, on top of that, so you had a terrible loss last night. You're 3-5-1. You're probably on the outside looking in. The NFC is really, really good this year. You're a healthy, two wins behind everybody else who are in the hunt for playoff spots, and you're going to buy at the deadline? Dallas today, I've traded for Quinnen Williams, linebacker Logan Wilson, who was on the Bengals. And in the past year, they've traded for George Pickens, Kenny Clark, and they traded away Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, losing him, I don't think if there's anything more evident that was one of the more consequential trades that they've made in some time. Because it turned that defense, which is already not that good and not healthy, it turned them that much worse. Their biggest problem was their defensive pass rush. And now they're getting a defensive tackle who is a great player, no doubt, great player. But you're almost subbing one in and then getting, you're subbing Micah Parsons out because you don't want to pay him. And then you're bringing in a high contracted player like Quinnen Williams in to sort of replace him on the interior.
But they also got Kenny Clark. I think that's also part of the deal. And they get to keep a first-round pick from that that Michael
Parsons. So they traded one of the first-round picks in exchange for Quinnen Williams. So I guess, all right, you got Quinnen Williams, Michael Parsons, Kenny Clark, fine. But the Cowboys' defense is so bad to a point that Michael Parsons, they feel his presence lost. They do. And you can see it because the defense is a nightmare. And on the other side of that, their season, let's be honest with ourselves, is that team running the table? No. That Cowboy team is not any good. They have a great offense, and their offense wasn't good yesterday. They usually have a good offense. And the worst part about it is they play a Monday night football. Their next couple games, how about this? Monday night football, the Sunday 4:25 slate against the Eagles. Then they play on Thanksgiving, and then they play the following Thursday night football. And then after that, they play on Sunday night football against the Vikings. So you're talking about...
And that Thanksgiving game is against the Lions.
Four individual four individual. It's not against the Lions, it's against the Chiefs. But the following week is against the Lions. Four individual standalone games that we're going to have to see. We deal with this every year. That we're going to have to deal and watch Dallas Cowboys. And on top of that, you got a 425 slate, which is probably the biggest game of the week in the NFL's eyes outside of Sunday Night Football. So we're going to be seeing plenty of this team. So I understand why they're buying. It is a brand at the end of the day. You got to think about Jerry Jones, who it's more important to him to have reasons to watch the Cowboys than to even see Cowboy wins. It's more important to have a storyline attached to them than actual than really the win column. But I sit here saying if there is a path for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm not seeing it. Three of their next four games are against top five teams in the National Football
League. And this discussion could have gone a lot different if the Cowboys would have beat the Cardinals last night.
If they won and they were 4-4-1, okay, there's a puncher's chance. But 3-5-1, and you got the Raiders, fine. The Raiders are not any good. But then you got the Cowboys, Chiefs, and Lions back-to-back-to-back. And then you get the Vikings are still not going to be an easy game. And then you get the Chargers. That is not an easy schedule. And a lot of those games are on primetime. So unless the Cowboys are planning on running the table, they're on the outside looking in the playoff picture, and I don't see a way out. They're 11th seed in the NFC at this point. They're 11th seed. There are nine teams with five or more wins. The Cowboys have three. That is not the spot that they want to be in. 888-760-3776. I don't understand what the Cowboys are doing because if you're going to trade Micah Parsons because you don't want to give him money, it was probably a pride thing attached to it. But on top of that, you're going to try to rebuild your defense and trade all these assets in order to do it. They have no interest, none, in rebuilding through the draft. They'll have their players here and there. They got their quarterback. But they don't want a stockpile of draft assets to actually make it a cheaper way of rebuilding a team. They want to keep buying stars because that's what the Cowboys do. So I can't say I'm surprised, but I don't understand the end game because I do not see the playoffs in sight. Damian Perez, Colin Russo. Go download the ESPN South Florida app today. It's free to download on the App Store. You can listen to Russo and Rizzo. You can listen to Theoretically Speaking. Listen to our high school coverage from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. You get it all in one spot. It's all on the ESPN South Florida app. Go download it today and listen to all the Florida Panthers on their quest for a three-peat on ESPN 106.3 and the ESPN South Florida app. It's all right there. All your beats, South Florida sports in one spot, the ESPN South Florida app. On the other side of things, we'll get into some of the other trade deadline acquisitions, trades that we have seen from throughout the day. Give a little bit of a grade attached to each side. Who got an A+, who got an A, who got a B? It's all to come right here on Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. If you've been in a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they're here to fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. Take that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo here at the City Play Studios. No Mike Rizzo today. We got Damian Perez behind the glass. NFL trade deadline time. A couple big trades, including the Jets, who had themselves a day on the offloading side. They got rid of Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner. See, probably their two best defensive players. Maybe their two best overall players. And they shipped Sauce Gardner to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for two first-round picks. And A.D. Mitchell. And they traded Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys for Mozzie Smith, who's a defensive tackle, a first and a third-round pick. So that's a great haul for two players for a team that's going nowhere.
Yeah, they had a great day.
That's a great day. If I'm a Jet fan and I have questions about the coach, I have questions about the general manager, what I want is I see glaring hole after glaring hole all over that team.
Now, I don't know if you saw, but Breece Hall did formally request a trade. What do you do about that?
Here's the thing. The thing about Breece Hall is you need to get something that's worth it. Running backs do not demand a high price nowadays, and the Cowboys are not just going to trade him to appease him. Or no, the Jets are not going to trade him to appease him. They're going to trade him if they think they get a good return for him. He's a good player. He is a good player. He's having a good year. But I sit here and say, if they were only offered a sixth-round pick, is it really worth it?
Might as well keep him.
Yeah, does that really do anything for you? And the NFL trade deadline had six trades, and that's the third most since 1990. And the trade deadline has become a little bit more of a thing, similar to how the NBA trade deadline operates and how the MLB trade deadline operates. It used to not be a big event where a lot of teams made moves, but now it has. And this trade deadline has passed. It was at 4 p.m. So what we see is what we get. And that has included Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys and Sauce Gardner to the Indianapolis Colts. Let's start with the Sauce Gardner one. What do you grade that? A, B, C, or D for, let's go, the Colts first.
For the Colts, I think this is a B+.
B+, because?
Because the Colts are, I think they want to be considered contenders. I think a lot of people are kind of on the fence whether they are or not.
You think they gave up too much? Two first-round picks.
The context about that is the position that the Colts find themselves in. If the Colts were kind of like, you know, fighting for a wild card spot, absolutely. Two first-round picks, no way. But since they're kind of, in a way, they're contenders. You know, we can kind of agree they're contenders. One of the best teams in the NFL. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're 8-2, 7-2. So, absolutely, I think this is a B+. This is a move that can only make them better. And if you're going to go on a run, it's now or never.
I'm going to go A-. I think some people need to understand what a championship window looks like. And whether you don't think the Colts are in a championship window or not, you don't think he makes them better? He makes them immediately better. He makes them dangerous. Their whole thing is that their offense is fantastic. Yes, there's a lot of questions about their quarterback. And yet people don't know if they trust Daniel Jones in a big spot.
He brings character, too. But I feel like for a locker room, Sauce Gardner's a good character
guy. It's been perfect. It's been perfect to this point. This has been a perfect start. We're only thinking about what happened in the Steeler game on Sunday. Outside of that, if you were to ask them how the first 9 weeks of the season went and you were to show them this, they would say A+++++. That is how good this beginning of the season has went for the Colts. Of course you capitalize on it. Did they give up two first-round picks? Is it a hefty price? It's exactly what they the Rams sent over for to Jacksonville for Jalen Ramsey. Two first-round picks. Ended up being in the 20s. Jacksonville was okay enough for it. They got Travis Etienne and Kalaevon Chaisson, one of whom is still on the team.
And you don't have to worry about a contract dispute with Sauce Gardner. He's freshly under contract.
It's another great point. So when you bring up the Micah Parsons trade and how they gave up two first-round picks and they gave up a good defensive tackle in Kenny Clark and compare and contrast, well, the Packers also had to pay him the biggest contract in NFL history for a non-quarterback. Keep that in mind. That's number one. But number two is Sauce Gardner signed his extension in the offseason. You don't have to worry about it. And I don't know the money specifics and whether it's completely offloaded onto the Colts now. I assume it is. But this is, to me, better than a B+. This is an A to A- trade. If Sauce is any good, a lot of people think he's overrated, fine, but change of scenery means a whole lot.
He was also on the Jets. I mean, when have the Jets been, quote-unquote, a good team?
I mean, yeah. And the defense stinks. The coach is a problem, but put him on a good team like the Colts, and all of a sudden, maybe things will change. Change of scenery does a whole lot for a player. So I actually think this is an A- trade. A to A-. This is a 93 out of 100. That's how I think this is exactly what they needed. They needed the corner. They wanted to go get a corner. They got a corner.
It's the definition of a splash.
It's a splash. And if you're worried about a first-round pick this year, the Colts are 7-2. That first-round pick is not going to be as valuable as you think. People love to put a lot of stock into the 27th overall pick. Yeah, it's a good pick in the draft. But will it make or break your season this year or next year? No, it will not. That's why I say good trade for the Colts. What would you grade this for the Jets? I think this is an A+.
Yeah, I think the Jets actually won the day. If we're looking around the league, who had the best trade deadline day?
Realistic.
It's got to be the Jets.
It's got to be realistic. The Jets are going to be entering a full-on rebuild after the season. They know that nothing what they have is going to stick around in the long term.
Three first-round picks, and they offloaded big contracts.
I was surprised about no Breece Hall and no Garrett Wilson, but they know that the big guys that they have big contracts to, that is not going to be part of their construction in the future. They want to be a little bit like the Patriots. What have the Patriots done? They offloaded every big contract they had, and in the past season and a half, they had a ton of draft picks. They drafted well. The Drake May draft, they got their quarterback. They didn't draft completely well. And then after that, they worked to protect him, and they invested a whole lot of money everywhere else in the team, and now they're immediately good. Why is that? Partially because the Patriots are a well-run organization, the Jets are not, but it's because they knew that they had to enter a little bit of a flush rebuild. And I know the Jets, we've heard this before with the Jets. This is a good move. That Jet team, what they have currently and the pieces they have around them, is not going anywhere fast. They need a quarterback, and they need to invest in an offensive line to protect him and then work to rebuild the defense the way Aaron Glenn wants to build it. He is a defensive coach at the end of the day. Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys. How would you grade this for the Dallas?
Honestly, taking the record away, I think this is a great trade for the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm surprised by that.
It's what they needed. They had a void in that position. They got it. And this is a guy that, you know, he might not be just a one-year rental. This is someone you can kind of build around in that defense and look forward to a few years from now. But considering their record, you know, you can't give it a B. I would give it a C+.
Yeah, C+. All right. So you think in the long term this might help them out, but in the short term, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So he's under contract. He's got a 4-year, $100 million contract. I don't know how many years. I'll check that. But and up and through the 2027 season, he's under contract. All right. So you got him for 3 years. 3 years, that works. But I sit here and say, are the Dallas Cowboys that under the impression? I mean, this year's a wash. So unless they're playing for the future, that's fine. Maybe that pick that they traded, that Micah Parsons pick, that will be the Green Bay Packers, that will be, you know, 27 overall, 25 overall, won't be the next Quinnen Williams. You could make that argument. I'd actually listen to that. This is good for the future. This is not good for the short term. But Dallas is okay with bringing in heavily paid contracts. If they want to deal with that, if that's how they want to build their team, fine. I think the Dallas Cowboys are a little star heavy in terms of the amount of money they have allotted to a few amount of players. But they got a great defensive tackle who's young and who is capable of being first-team All-Pro and has been first-team All-Pro, has been a great player in this league. I would give this, though, for the Cowboys. Damian, I think you hit both right in the head. I think this is a B-. Short-term doesn't make sense. Timing definitely doesn't make any sense. But what for the Cowboys are, you can't sit here and criticize them like every other team because they don't operate like any other team. They want to buy stars. They want to be in the headlines. They want to go get big star after big star. They don't necessarily want to figure it out through the draft. You know, they were able to do it here and there, but they want to make splashes. That's what they want. Now, here's another one. Jacksonville Jaguars made a move. They went and got Jacoby Myers from the Las Vegas Raiders, who they played actually on Sunday. Jacoby Myers, who's fresh off in a 1,000-yard season last year, has not done a whole lot this year. A good player, fine player, has had a pretty good career to this point. Jacksonville trades for a 4th and a 6th-round pick in exchange for Jacoby Myers. Trevor Lawrence gets some help. How would you grade this for Jacksonville getting Jacoby Myers?
Honestly, a B. I think this is a B. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, Travis Hunter just went down, who obviously is a big part of that wide receiver room. You got Brian Thomas Jr., who's not only been struggling, but now he's dealing with a high ankle sprain. So I think adding to that wide receiver room, and also Brian Thomas has struggled across the middle
this year,
which is where Jacoby Myers excels. Now Brian Thomas can focus being that overtop vertical threat, and Jacoby Myers can be across the middle. I think this is a B for a Jacksonville Jaguars, which they're kind of in a weird spot because they're in the hunt, but you don't really feel like they are at times.
There were a lot of rumors out there about whether the Jags were going to trade Brian Thomas Jr. And let me just loop everybody in. I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. They were never going to trade Thomas Jr. They might at the end of the year, but in the middle part of the year when they're 5-3, fresh off a win, playoff hunt, they're not getting rid of the only receiver that they have healthy that they're paying actual money to. What happened, they had Dyami Brown, who they signed in free agency from the Washington Commanders, who was hurt basically every single game, has 5 drops himself. I know Thomas Jr. has been a nightmare, but he is a first-round pick.
Parker Washington has been solid.
Parker Washington is a solid player, fine player. And then they have Travis Hunter, who's been hurt, who will be hurt for the next 3 or 4 games. They don't have the guy behind him to fill that void. If you think it's Jacoby Myers, no, it's not Jacoby Myers. So they were never going to get rid of Brian Thomas to begin with because why? Unless they were going to get a 1st or 2nd round pick out of it and you can't say no, why would you trade him?
I think it was more about just kind of teasing a haul.
Right.
Seeing if they can get something like 2 first-round picks.
You listen to everything. You listen to any trade offer. But you don't actively shop Brian Thomas Jr. I don't care how bad he's playing.
He was never on the block.
Never on the block, my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, and their general manager is a young guy, James Gladstone. He's willing to take chances. You saw that with the Travis Hunter trade. As for the Jaguars getting Jacoby Myers, I actually think this is A-. I do. Because they didn't give up a whole lot to get him. 4th and a 6th. You didn't give up anything major. He's a good player. He's not getting paid a whole lot of money. He's under contract through this year.
I believe he wants a contract.
He wants a contract. So he's not getting a whole lot of money this year. He's making about $10 million, $11 million a year. And if he's a great player, I don't know if Jacksonville will pay him, but this is a rental. All right, a rental in a season where they're winning games for a fourth and a sixth round pick? Fine.
And you got injuries, too.
Fine. And they need him. So this is an A-minus trade for Jacksonville. Whether they trade, maybe they sign him, I don't know if they'll give him the money to wide receiver three, but this is a good move for Jacksonville, really. Another interesting one. How about this? Rashid Shaheed, who has been the weirdest fantasy player in the world, for those who know, because he's just a speedster and he has these deep, passing attack plays once or twice a game, got traded to the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks, who have been playing as good as anybody, one of the sneakiest good teams in the NFL, go get Rashid Shaheed, who is one of the fastest, most explosive players in the league, a deep ball threat. And it's funny because they already have Torrey Horton and Jackson Jigba.
What a big game.
They have a ton of talent.
Yep.
This is a great trade for Seattle.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you.
They gave him for a fourth and a fifth round pick. Sign me up.
A plus. This is an A plus for me.
Is Seattle the best team in that division?
I was going to say, I think after this trade, I mean, we can even talk about Seattle being probably top three contenders in the league, not just in the division.
Oh, you're that high on them.
I mean, the results are there. I feel like after getting Darnold, they just absolutely boomed. Jackson Smith and Jigba is probably, if not the best receiver, top three receiver in the league. That defense is solid. They got a great home field advantage. Why not?
I kind of agree with you.
And they just added a great, probably one of the best deep threats to complement Jackson Smith and Jigba.
And they have Horton too, so that's got two really fast guys, and Darnold likes to sling it. And they got Smith and Jigba, who's
two great
all
running backs as well, Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet. Jackson,
yeah, that's a great offense. Seattle's good. They might be the best team in that division. Now, here's the thing about that NFC West, which is probably the most competitive division in the league, is they each has something going for them. What do I mean by that? San Francisco is 6-3. They've played an extra game comparatively to the Rams in Seattle. But San Francisco has the injury bug, but they have the easiest schedule in the league.
I was going to say, they've been winning game despite the injury
bug. Because they have such an easy schedule. They have the Rams this week, but then they got the Cardinals, Panthers, Browns, Titans.
And the irony about San Francisco is that Christian McCaffrey has been probably their healthiest player all season.
Which is bizarre.
Knock on wood.
But how about this? They got the Cardinals, Panthers, Browns, and Titans coming up in four of their next five games. Those are winnable games if you're the 49ers.
I mean, I'm sure Green Bay said the same thing when they saw the Panthers on their schedule.
Fair enough.
Up.
I get it. True. Keep that in mind. But the San Francisco got the easiest schedule of the bunch. And then you look at the Rams. The Rams have the head coach and the quarterback. The Rams probably have the three best pieces. If you're going to compare Seattle, the Rams, and you're going to compare that with San Francisco, the three most important pieces of all those three teams combined are Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, and Puka Nacua.
They're very similar teams, too, if we're looking at the Rams and the Seahawks. They're just a high-raid offensive, air-throwing offense with a great quarterback who can get it done with anybody on the field, like Sam Darnold has shown.
Yeah, so the one thing I'll say is when healthy, Seattle's got a better roster. And Devin Witherspoon has not been available this whole season. They have a ton of talent all over the place defensively. They have a great pass rush. They tore apart Jacksonville.
They didn't even have Cooper Kupp for that game, too.
Didn't have Cooper Kupp. Now they got Shaheed, Smith Ejigba, Torrey Horton. They got a lot of players. Seattle's got the better roster, but the Rams have the most important pieces right. They got McVay, who's the most important coach out of any of those three. They had Stafford, who's the best quarterback out of any of those three, or Mac Jones and Brock Purdy. And they got Puka Nacua, who, in my opinion, is the best skill position player.
I'd push back on that one. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba can give him a run for his money right
now. Give me
there.
Puka Nacua 100 times out of 100.
The thing with Puka, though, is that I feel like after every catch he has, you feel like he's done for the season.
Because he's such a physical player.
Yeah.
You're right. You know, Smith and Jigba is a little bit safer in how he plays.
Smooth.
But there's some, and Nacua's good in a playoff game. He was great in the playoff game last year. I think Nacua, I'd take over anybody, but I understand the pushback. I understand. Seattle might be the best team in that division. I don't know if I'm willing to say that yet. You're gonna have to wait till they still have to play each other twice, but that might be the best team in that division.
Those games are gonna be amazing.
I'm signing me up for that. Good. So big winners of the deadline. I think Seattle and the Colts,
and
because
the
they actually they took chances.
I would include the Jets in that list.
Jets for the wrong reasons. Jet fans don't love it, but for the future of the team, that's probably the best position there. Now you got five first-round picks to play with in the next 2 years. And on top of yours, which are going to be good picks. So right then and there, as long as you could get a good quarterback out of this in one of those five, that team is going to have ample opportunity to rebuild fast.
And I don't think, I mean, I don't know what Fields' contract is looking
2 years, $20 million.
That's not a big commitment.
They can deal with that. That's no big deal. They can deal with that. I didn't think they should have traded him. Some people thought they should have. A $20 million quarterback on the bench for 1 year is fine. It's honestly a good bridge quarterback because you don't need to play the other guy immediately. Actually, you probably do need to play the other guy immediately. Fields stinks. Nonetheless, Damian Prez, Colin Russo, Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. How about that? Trade deadline, big winners. Seattle's dangerous. I might take Seattle over just about anybody in the NFC, not named the Eagles. I think they're, and maybe the Lions. Lions, Eagles, Seahawks. I think I'd take them over the Rams, and I think I'd definitely take them over the Packers. Nobody else in the NFC East I'm worried about. The NFC South, Buccaneers. I know the Buccaneers beat them.
They need to get healthy.
They need to get healthy. Need to get healthy. Seattle's good, and they're trending up. Sign me up for that. 888-760-3776. Number to get into the program. Colin Russo, Damian Prez. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
We're on the same page, Damian, that the Colts are could be Super Bowl contending.
I think their case just got helped out a lot by this trade with Sauce Gardner. Absolutely.
Were you one of those people that had questions after that Pittsburgh loss on Sunday?
I don't know about questions because I just think that was a bad game for them in general. Right. A lot of the questions around the Colts is this Daniel Jones? Are we seeing with Daniel Jones? Is it for real? Is it going to last into the second half of the season? And I didn't leave that Steelers game thinking, you know, Daniel Jones is toast. I think that was just overall a bad game, not just for the team, for the offense. Jonathan Taylor couldn't get anything going. That line couldn't stop the Steelers. So if I'm going to take anything away from that Steelers game is that that was just a bad game for the Colts, and it needs to be a throwaway. They've shown us enough this season to where we can kind of give them that benefit of the doubt.
All of this lasts on Daniel Jones's shoulders. Nothing has changed from when their expectation was in week three versus what it is now, even post-Sauce Gardner trade. The Colts need to make sure that they have enough pieces around Daniel Jones to make it as easy as possible for Daniel Jones to succeed. Similarly to how the San Francisco 49ers have handled it with Brock Purdy and how the Seattle Seahawks have handled it and continue to handle it with Sam Darnold, how the Vikings handled it with Sam Darnold. It is important for players such as Jones. The Lions have done it with Goff. It's important for players such as Daniel Jones to be protected by every other part of the team. That's not a knock on Daniel Jones. That's just the player he is. They got him for a bargain. He's going to be their, I mean, unless they, I guess they think he's going to be their long-term solution. I'm a Daniel Jones fan. I think the guy shows up every single day. I know he has a lot of problems with New York. I think a lot of people would have problems in New York. I think the NFL is situational. It always has been, always will be. You got it's contextual to where you are, where you're playing, who you're playing for, and where you are in your career. But Daniel Jones is in that subcategory of quarterback where, similarly to Jared Goff, similarly to Sam Darnold, similarly to basically just about anybody outside of the top six, you need everything around him to be nearly great to perfect in order for him to succeed. And that's fine. Because he's cheaper than every other quarterback. So you could allot a great running game, which they do have. The offensive line wasn't good the other day, but they have a great rushing attack and a good offensive line. They now have a lot of good weapons on the outsides. Michael Pittman's been good. Josh Downs has been good. Alec Pierce has been good. Tyler Warren has been great. So they had the offensively, and they have a good an offensive play calling head coach. So that's all set. Defensively is where they had a couple questions. They turned the ball over. They're able to get to the quarterback here and there. But they had a glaring hole at cornerback. This makes it a lot easier for the defense to get timely stops and therefore for the offense to continue extending leads. I'm 1,000% okay with this on both sides, really. If you're sitting here saying, well, the Jets should keep Sauce Gardner around because they signed him to a big extension, and this is after the fifth-year option too, so he's going to be there for, you know, 5-6 years. If you're under the impression that that was a solution to what the Jets' problems are, are part of the solution, you're wrong. The Jets' problems lie in them not being able to figure out one position and one position only, quarterback. They have not been similar. They're like the Browns. They haven't been able to figure it out. Once you get that right signal caller in there, then you start having everybody else fall into their piece. Get a good offensive line. You don't need to extend big-time money to players that don't necessarily need it on that franchise. And I know Sauce was surprised. There's no ill will. He understands that there was a business. That was all the reports that came out after this trade came out. But I sit here and say, what's the best possible scenario for Sauce Gardner being still on the New York Jets? They win what? 3, 4, or 5 games the next 2, 3 years? And Sauce Gardner's just there? I'm not saying all good players just need to go to good teams, but if you're the Jets and you're thinking for the future, if you could get 2 first rounds for it, absolutely. That's more valuable to them right now than Sauce Gardner at quarterback. Cornerback. And the Colts, on the other hand, go all in. Do you like, how about this? Speaking of the Colts, Jim Irsay's daughter, the yes. new Colts owner, who is on the sideline with the headset, listening to the coaches' play calls, listening to the communication between the quarterbacks, who is at every single practice on the sideline. She's not an owner where you're just the business head up in your suite enjoying yourself. She's involved in the football operation. You like that?
I love it. As somebody who, you know, she's obviously trying to learn, trying to soak in as much knowledge and just trying to be integrated as much as she can with this team. And the results are there. I mean, since she's been taking over, like, the Colts have just been absolutely skyrocketing. They've made every right decision in the offseason. They're still making right decisions. That football team is playing great football. And I think the vibes in general in Indianapolis is just sky high right now.
Yeah.
So I would just keep doing exactly what they're doing.
Carly Irsay Gordon, who is Jim Irsay's daughter, who has assumed most of the operations control of the Colts. She's all over the place. She's done a good job. Here's some good news out of Arizona. If you liked what you saw last night from Adam Schefter just now, Cardinals have already announced it. They're sticking with quarterback Jacoby Brissett as their starter for Sunday's game in Seattle.
Wow. So does that mean Kyler Murray's not healthy enough to play?
This is a benching. That's got to be a benching.
Interesting.
Kyler Murray was
it's the right decision.
Game time scratch. If they're sticking with him as their starter and it's Tuesday, what does that tell you? It doesn't tell you that they don't know if Kyler's going to be healthy or not, unless he is unhealthy. This is soft benching. This is hey, we just had our best game of the season with you at quarterback. We're sticking with you until you give us a reason to go elsewhere.
It's similar to what we're seeing in Carolina. Now, it's a whole different position, running back, but like how Rico Dowdle came in, just absolutely played lights out. Now, how do you bench him? Now we're seeing him become the full starter. I think that's kind of what happened with Arizona.
Well, here's the problem. Kyler Murray, who has a 5-year, $230 million contract, you know, $160 million of it is guaranteed, and it ends in 2028.
Wow.
That's another team that's in a complete pickle. Are we really sitting here saying Jacoby Brissett is their best long-term option at quarterback? No, but he's their best short-term option. They've played well with him at quarterback. You gotta give him a little credit there.
Their assets have played absolutely better with Brissett, Marvin Harrison, McBride. Like, they've just absolutely shined with Brissett.
3 straight weeks where they scored 27, 23, and 27 were competitive against 3 pretty good teams. Cowboys are pretty good. Packers are definitely good, and you can make an argument that the Cardinals should have had that game, and they took the Colts down to the wire. You know, before that, you know, they had a terrible game against the Niners. They almost blew it against the Panthers. They escaped against the Saints in Week 1. I don't know if I agree with this because of the money attached to Kyler Murray and the highs and lows that he has, but one thing's for sure is that the Cardinals seem to be done with it. You know what this move tells me? It tells me that the coach is starting to get a little worried about his job. Jonathan Gannon, who's been there, I believe, 3 years now? And he's now thinking about, boy, I can't have another bad season. I need to get a win total attached to my name to buy myself another year. That's my thinking. I don't know if Arizona would get rid of him. I don't know if they like him internally. But my perspective is Jonathan Gannon has been, okay at best since he's gotten there, since he left the Eagles? And he's had ups and downs. It's one that, you know, the 8-9 games every year. He's sort of like Shane Steichen, but he's trending downward instead of upward. He was 4-13 in his first year there, 8-9 last year. Now they're 3-5. They were 2-5 on a 5-game losing streak. He had to do something. But does this mark to you the end of Kyler Murray's reign in Seattle? Are we going to see, or in Arizona? Are we going to see him again?
I think it's It has to be the end. I think to your point, like you mentioned, I just feel like they're done with the Kyler Murray experiment. And every opportunity he's had to kind of prove he's that leader of a locker room.
Or it tells you that, hey, we just played on Monday Night Football. We got one less day of practice. Maybe inserting Kyler when we know he's still not. I have a hard time believing Kyler Murray wouldn't be capable of playing next week. Maybe they just want to wait until he's 100% healthy. Maybe we're overreacting. But I think the fact that you heard about this on Tuesday, they're not dying to get back to Murray, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like they've already had that. They already know what they're going to get from Kyler Murray at this point. I don't know if there's
much
optimism.
It's not like Jacoby Brissett offers that much optimism either.
No, but obviously your players, your offensive weapons are playing a lot better with Brissett. And you also have to keep the guys around in that locker room happy as well. If you bring back Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison just absolutely disappears like he had been in the beginning of the season, now you got a disgruntled wide receiver, which you actually spent very high draft stock on. So it also, I feel like in general, Kyler Murray is just not working out for Arizona. And similar to Sauce Gardner, it might be time for a change of atmosphere for him.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to handle that because Kyler Murray, who has been okay at best for, you know, what? The eighth straight year, the seventh straight year he's been in the NFL, he's been okay every single year of that. He's been ups and downs. He's never consistent. He never gives you
never
a full
improved.
16.
I don't feel like he's improved.
He never gives you a full 16, 17 games.
Yeah,
he has moments. He has moments. He does not give you anything crazy. But the fact that they're going to Brissett this early tells me either one of two things. Kyler Murray's injury is worse than we thought, and they don't want to rush him back. That's the optimist way of viewing it. Or number two is the team is a little bit more out on Kyler Murray than we thought, and they just needed a reason to kind of do a little soft benching. But as Jonathan Gannon said, he goes, quote, I like what the offense is doing right now. He wants to give clarity on a short week. That's the business way of responding to that.
Very political.
That's the political way of saying that. Maybe he wants to see if this can continue. And maybe at the first sign of trouble, in goes Kyler.
Who is it that the Cardinals play the next week?
Seattle. In Seattle. Oh, wow. So that's a divisional matchup.
Very tough matchup.
It's a divisional matchup. And then they get the Niners after that. So this is an important two-game stretch for them. If you struggle after this, you somehow fall to 3-7. Probably not looking at too much more after that. You're not running the table, the Arizona Cardinals. But they impressed me yesterday. They played well. There's no doubt. They played well. I sit here and say, Kyler Murray, closer to being kicked out than hanging around. But I don't want to overreact. We got to see how they react in the next week. They lose to Seattle. Are they still going to be singing the same tune with Jacoby Brissett? They beat Seattle, then you're really going to have a discussion. I don't know if Jacoby Brissett's given them a reason to bench him. I don't. Six touchdowns, one interception to this point. I think they're okay with it. Damian Perez, Colin Russo. We're going to do a little 5-5 on the other side of things, get into a couple other things from around the sports world, and also on the other side into the second hour, the 5 p.m. hour presented by Good Creek Moving and Storage. Got a big discussion about the MLB I'm curious about. After a huge Game 7 over the weekend, a huge MLB postseason, and after the ratings came out, has MLB overtaken the NBA as the United States' second favorite sports league? We'll get into that as we enter into the second hour. 5-5 coming up next. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.